This is WFMU Uppsala College, East Orange.
I'm going to say this as straight as I possibly can. I am begging you, if you're a parent and you've got kids there, that this subject is just too upsetting for your young children. Please get them out of the room or change the station. We urge you to exercise parental discretion.
Hey, Uncle, how much you give me for this radio, huh? Now, this hot little old radio, man, is worth plenty of rubles, man. It's got lots of juice. You got shortwave, police call, boats. Late at night, man, you get out of space. Come on, Uncle, just make me an offer. Now, this is a $100 radio, man. It's got a clear tone. Boy, that's clear as a mother's old bell. That's it. Come on, baby. Show the man your power, baby. Blast him! Give him some of that tone! Oh, man. You radio, you mother!
Hey, Jim, what about TV? You like TV?
What?
New thing, Jim. Television.
Oh, pictures.
Yeah.
No pictures.
Why not?
Everything these days is pictures. Pictures and a lot of noise. Nobody even knows how to talk. Just grunted each other.
Babies that were sacrificed, forsaken.
I will probably have nightmares tonight about it.
From the nightmares, to the running around the room when they disclose, to the latching on, to the crying and saying, Mommy, 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 don't go out, because if you go out, they're going to kill you. Threats, intimidation, fear.
Now, if you're going to stay cool, you got to wail. You got to put something down. You got to make some jive. Don't you know what I'm talking about?
Well, that's all I'm saying.
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man.
Rejection of parental values. Unusual interest in books on Satanism, black magic, or witchcraft. Obsession with rock music groups using satanic symbols or references. Rejection of friends. Preference for being alone. Meditation, chanting, use of new vocabulary.
Is it the force of evil? Does it disrupt? Is it a force for everything negative?
There's two kind of laws, honey. One for the rich, and one for the poor.
He sees all and knows all. He's wise. He's kind. He is fair. He loves truth and goodness.
Listen, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the dogs, the filth. Here is someone who stood up.
Hey, buddy. This is the state of New Jersey, and I don't care who you are.
Got a few of them. I've had them for years. I got one just above my right eye, about 4 inches above, on my scalp. It's about 3 or 4 inches long. And I got it when I was hit over the head with the bottom edge of a cocktail table by a rather irate mafioso. I got another one on the bridge of my nose. It's really small. So small you probably wouldn't notice if I didn't point it out to you, but I got it when a cat I was trying to blow dry swiped me with claws fully extended. I got another one on the palm of my hand. Looks like a lifeline. It's about 2 inches long. And I got that when I was trying to pull something out from underneath a moving wiper blade. And my palm got snagged. And I bled all over the windshield. And I blasted down the road at about 50. My own blood obscuring my vision. And this pain shooting through my left hand. The pain of torn flesh. One of the worst kinds of pain. We all have them. We all have scars. And today, on Aerial View, I'd like to hear about yours. Where are they? How'd you get them? The number here is 201-678-7743. I got more. Hello, welcome to the air.
Aerial View?
Yes.
Yeah, hey, Chris, you still doing the guitar show?
Not this week, no. Were you listening to my intro?
Yeah, but, well, actually, I was calling a phone number, and it told me to call another phone number. I heard part of your intro. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, listen, I have a Gibson. Oh, you're not doing the guitar show.
No, you know what? Call the Mojo Guitar Shop.
The what?
The Mojo Guitar Shop in New York.
Do you have a number for that, sir?
You know, I wish I had it handy, but I don't. But, you know, you could call information.
Chris, I hate to interrupt your show. I just want to know, why aren't you on longer?
Oh, I don't really know. We'll talk about that some other time, though. I'm trying not to spoil the mood here. You get me?
I apologize, Chris.
No, that's
I'll never call again.
No, I'm not saying don't call again. I'm just saying, you know, never mind.
Mellow out.
Thanks, bye. I thought I was really mellow. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, hi. I have an unusual scar on my knee.
Okay.
Scar on
your knee, and where did it come from?
Well, this past June, I went to a street fair in Park Slope, and when I was biking back, I jumped a curb, and I fell right off my bike. Well, I fell right on top of the bike, and I have this really bizarre scar. It's like two eyes and a smile right on my knee, and I've even photographed it because when it was at its height, it looked so eerie. And, you know, it was like summertime, and I would wear shorts, and everybody would look at this thing, and they didn't want to ask about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looked kind of self-inflicted, but hell, I wouldn't, you know, self-inflict something like that on my face, on my knee.
Oh, so they thought you carved a smiley face into your knee?
Yeah, it was very evil. And it's still there. I mean, I'm going to probably have this scar for a long time.
Scars last forever. They're like diamonds and tattoos.
But it is kind of cool, you know, it smiles, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a happy face smile.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Hi, welcome to the air.
Hi. I have a, hello?
Yes. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. I have a scar on the bottom of my left foot. I was running one day on the beach, and I stepped in a case of beer that was full and broke most of it.
You stepped right on a case of beer?
Yeah, I was running, and I ran into a case of beer on the beach, barefooted, and broke most of the bottle.
Did you drink the beer?
No, it was trash.
Oh, sorry to hear it. All right, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Hello, welcome to the air.
How you doing?
Okay.
What are we talking about here, scars?
Yes.
All right, so put me on.
You are on.
Oh, I am on. Let's see. I have a scar on my foot. My father said, you can't go ice skating. So then, I kicked the window, and I got a bad cut on my foot, and it's pretty fucked up. Bye-bye, Billy.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
How's it going? Listen, I never have a chance to listen to you entirely because I'm a process server in Essex County, and I listen to you on the radio every Friday from 6 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in and out of my car. My question tonight, first of all, what is the last T, your last name stand for, T?
My last name? It stands for my last name. My last initial, you mean? T, the initial
T? Is that
T?
Like Ice-T? Like, are you a rapper or something?
No. I have this unpronounceable Greek last name.
Oh, so that's why it's T?
Yeah.
Now, where did you get the name Aerial View? I mean, that's a cool name for the show, but how did you obtain that name?
I dreamt it up. It came out of my own mind.
How long have you been on the air, Chris?
Doing Aerial View?
Yeah.
2.5 years?
Jesus, where the hell have I been?
I don't know.
All right, Chris.
Hey, listen, what about scars? You going to tell us about the scars you have?
Yes, I have one on my cheek, my right cheek.
Like G.I. Joe.
In fact, I look a little like James Woods, and he has a scar, I believe, on his right cheek. And I
Well, he's got acne scars all over his face.
I do, too.
All right. So, you look like James Woods.
Yes.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Okay, Chris.
Now, do the gals like scars? Because, you know, as a guy growing up, there was a heavy scar influence in our lives, namely G.I. Joe. who had that permanent scar on one cheek, which was kind of prominent. You know, the newer G.I. Joes, the small ones, I think they're just too small to faithfully recreate a scar. But I was in a toy store the other day, and I like to stop by and just see what the newest technology and toys are, because I think you could really tell how well, you know, our economy is doing by the toys, you see. And they've come out with a limited edition classic G.I. Joe that retails for like somewhere between $25 and $30. And it's basically the old G.I. Joe. I don't know if they're creating him from the old molds or what, but right back with the scar on his cheek, right where it belongs. But they're calling it classic G.I. Joe. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I'm on the yeah, we're still talking about scars?
Yes.
Okay, let's see, I got like a scar, a big scar on my forehead, about like 20 stitches.
How did you get it?
When I was little, playing baseball, or wiffle ball actually, the corner, third base was the corner of a brick building.
And you smashed into it?
Yeah, I was looking back because the guy was chasing me with the ball. And then once I turned back, next thing I knew, I was on the ground with blood all over the place.
And did someone have to pick you up and take you to the hospital? Or?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. It was like, I opened my eyes, all I saw was red.
Mm-hmm.
Blood all over my face and shit.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye. Hello, welcome to the air.
Chris T.
Yes.
How you doing?
Listen, okay.
I don't think you should neglect the infamous scars created by the chicken pox.
Okay. I don't know that I have any of those. Do you have any?
Oh, I have some facial ones.
Oh, okay. What do they look like?
They look like a little crater. Almost, you know, like an acne type of scar. But,
okay.
Something derived from the chicken pox is something worthy of mention.
Now, do you feel it makes you look rugged? Does it give your face a rugged look? Or just like a chicken pox scarred look?
No, I think you could qualify me as a rugged look with the old... I've got one at the corner of my eyebrow, the bridge of, at the top of my nose, and I've got one right on my cheek. And they're very pronounced, but, you know, scars from everyday life count, but I think chicken pox deserves some mention.
Okay, let's
Thank
hear
you.
It for chicken pox scars.
Thank
Thanks.
You kindly.
Okay, welcome to the air. Okay. Got to turn your radio down. Turn your radio down.
Hello?
You have to turn your radio down. The number here is 201-678-7743. It works fine, but you have to turn your radio down.
Okay. Hang on. It's off now.
Okay. Now, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I have a huge scar on my face also, but I'm wondering why Gerard got suspended and he's leaving.
I don't think those two things have anything to do with each other. I think, well, what had happened was a couple of months ago he had told David, this is, you know, according to what I've heard, that he wanted to leave, and, you know, so he wanted to leave. And then after that, he got suspended for something that happened while he was filling in on my program, which I feel totally responsible for.
What but happened? I've been out of town.
You've been out of town. Basically, he gave out somebody's phone number on the air, and that person got very upset about it and wrote letters here and threatened to sue us and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was specifically against station policy to give out people's phone numbers without their, you know, consent. And although he was doing it in, you know, in fun, it turned out that the people who had it done to them were not in the mood for that kind of fun.
I see.
To put it mildly.
So he's repented.
Yeah, but I don't think that him leaving has anything whatsoever to do with that incident. I don't know. I didn't hear the beginning of his program, so maybe
I missed that.
Maybe it does, but I'll have to speak with David, the program director, about that. I'm sure he can clear up any lingering confusion. Okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, bye. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
How you doing?
Okay.
I have a scar on my left thigh.
And how did you get it?
It's a long story. I was in a car accident when I was about 17.
Did the gear shift lever jam itself into your thigh?
No.
What did?
Howard Stern.
I don't think so. Hello, welcome to the air.
Fight censorship.
Absolutely. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, I have an interesting scar.
Okay.
I was bet that I could jump from a second-story window and catch a branch.
Mm-hmm.
And I jumped out the window. Had a good load on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The branch broke, and I fell in these bushes. And I had a huge puncture wound between, I don't know if I can say this on the air, my scrotum and my anus.
Uh-huh.
So I have a scar now. It's kind of like a second anus.
What do you know? So including yourself, it's like a third anus then.
That's remarkable. That's a medical miracle. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, Chris, that guy was the jerk.
Which guy?
With the third anus.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, I'm personally responsible for the problem with Gerard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was the one that night that suggested the topic that started him off on his surly pattern.
Okay.
Which got into a vicious cycle of a diatribe with his or your listeners.
I didn't hear the show. I heard it was an excellent show.
The show was great. It was my topic. Everyone had to come up with classic rock that they can no longer ever bear to hear again.
Okay.
So anyway, want to hear my scar story?
Yes.
I've been dying to tell this for a long time. It's a tiny scar, so I'm looking at it. It's about 3/4 of an inch on the bottom of my wrist.
Okay.
But it's where I got it. That's neat. I was about 7 years old, and my mother's best friend's husband was the inventor of automatic sprinkler systems.
Okay.
And it was in his house, but not on an automatic sprinkler system. Do you remember in, like, old 1950s-style kitchens, they used to have, like, metal pieces overlapping on kitchen counters? And real sharp edges.
Uh-huh.
I was, like, you know, doing breakfast or something, and I cut my wrist, and I was bleeding profusely. And that's the scar story.
Excellent scar story.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
All right.
Okay. Hello. Welcome to the air.
Hi. Yeah, I have a scar story. I have this, it's not a very remarkable scar on the side of my right knuckle of my left hand pointer finger. And it's about 1/4 inch long. It's just this thin white line. But every time I look at it, I get really disgusted because about 15 years ago, I had this horrible job washing dishes. And one day I was late to work and I was riding my bicycle. It was kind of rainy. And I was rushing and I had to throw the brakes on to my bike because I couldn't fit between this car and this dumpster behind where work was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my boss's Cadillac. And for some reason, I decided not to crash into my boss's Cadillac. So I crashed into this dumpster, which was sort of overflowing with garbage, and I cut my hand really badly. So every time I see the scar, which is like 10 times a day, I think of myself bloody and covered with garbage instead of crashing into my boss's Cadillac.
So you kind of sacrificed your finger for a caddy.
Well, I kind of sacrificed my, like, a lifetime of dignity.
Okay.
My boss's Cadillac.
Well, I mean,
I want to go back. I want to go back there and just totally destroy the Cadillac.
I don't know that that could be done, but, you know, if we could all just go back and change the circumstances under which we received our scars, who knows how life would be different.
Yeah, you're right.
Because scars are like, you know, you could look at them and sort of remember, gee, how I got that.
Well, how could I turn this scar into something positive? It's really bothering me.
Well, you'll... I bet you have, since that happened, you've resolved never to let that happen again. I mean, never to sort of sacrifice your personal safety for some stupid automobile.
Probably.
No matter who it belongs to.
I probably make the same mistake all the time, but...
No.
I don't have that many scars like that, so maybe you're right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Great. Thanks for calling. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, we on the air?
Yes, you are. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, hi, Chris, how you doing?
Okay.
Listen, I just wanted to tell you about a few scars that I got.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, when I was a lot younger, I used to be really into bicycle riding, and one time I went straight over to handlebars and landed flat on my face.
What'd you scar on your face?
My nose, really badly.
Okay, so what does it look like today?
Well, it's fine. They did some reconstructive work on it. Nothing serious. They just, like, pulled some skin back and put it.
Ew.
But other scars that I have, just really quickly, is that when I was born with eczema. It's like a rash.
Uh-huh.
And when it went away, it left scarring on my face. Like little, they look like little pinholes on my face.
Okay.
And
okay.
Also, not a scar, but an extra thing that I shouldn't have.
Okay.
I have an extra rib.
Wow. An extra rib. Has this affected your life in any way?
It just feels really neat. Besides that, it's up in my shoulder. It's called a cervical rib, and they wanted to operate on me when I was, like, in fourth grade and have it taken out. but they decided that there it caused no serious risks to my life, so they just left it in there.
Yes.
So, one of those many things that makes me different from everybody else.
I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like this before.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hello, welcome to the air.
I have a scar.
Okay.
But this scar is in my heart.
Oh, no, really? A scar on your heart? Mm-hmm. From what?
It's from a relationship I once had that's gone now.
Oh, no. Tell us about it.
I can't say, really.
Why not?
You
can't talk about it still?
Yeah. But everybody has a scar. I just wish mine wasn't so permanent.
You must have really loved this person.
Mm-hmm.
Was this a man or a woman?
Man.
Okay, and what was so special about this person that left a scar on your heart?
He was real. He wasn't fake.
Elaborate. What do you mean he was real?
Well, he was just himself, and he had a lot to say and was smart.
Is this Laura Palmer?
No, it's not.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm really not following you on this. I mean, aren't there other guys out there that would probably fit this bill? I mean, couldn't you go out and find, you know, some other person, or was this a one-in-a-million kind of guy?
He was one-in-a-million, definitely.
Does he know that he broke your heart?
No.
And left it scarred?
No.
Really? That probably makes it a lot worse, doesn't it?
It does. Definitely does.
How old are you?
How old am I?
I mean, are you young enough to go out and repair your heart, or...
Yes.
Okay. You have plenty of years ahead of you in which you could probably date and try to get rid of this scar tissue.
It's very hard, though.
I know.
Okay.
I know, and I empathize with you.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, I got a lot of nice scars on my hands.
Tell us about them.
Well, I guess the three most notable are... Let's say I had this light construction job, and I was a little young, but I put a big industrial staple through my thumb knuckle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What kind of noise did it make? Like a...
No, it didn't really make a noise. You know, it was just a ka-chink, and it was right through my thumb knuckle. And, I had to wait around the emergency room.
You stapled your own knuckle?
Yeah. It was...
I guess we can call you a knucklehead, then. I mean, it'd be pretty fair.
Right. I got another one. I was about 3 years old, and I knocked off the tip of my finger in a garden gate.
No, you didn't.
Ouch. Yes, I did. But they did a skin graft.
They reattached the tip of your finger?
What?
When you were three?
No, they couldn't reattach. What they had to do is do a skin graft. They sewed my finger to
They sewed it to your butt and let it grow, right?
No.
What did they sew it to?
To my palm.
They sewed your finger to your palm until the skin grew, and then they cut it?
Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, man. God bless medicine. That's what I need to say right now.
Another good one.
Like, who would have thought of that? Who's the guy who thought, well, if we sew his finger to another piece of skin, it'll grow?
Yeah.
You know?
They did a hang job, too. I mean, the palm looks totally screwy. You know, it's got this fat, you know, tissue ripped away, and the forefinger.
You mean they deformed you?
Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Okay. Well, is it better? I mean, are you glad you have the tip of a finger, though, at least?
Yeah.
Does it look like some sort of strange thing?
It's kind of an ET finger, you might say.
Have you had to go around with a glove on most of your life?
No.
Okay.
No,
it's not that bad, then. So, what else? What other scars?
Let's see. I have one. I was riding a skateboard, and I fell off and slid into a pile of glass.
Oh, wow.
Wow,
skateboard accidents can be really bad, can't they?
Yeah, but, you know, it was interesting because my mom was being kind of a miser and she didn't bring me to the emergency room. So I had tiny pieces of glass that must have healed over. And, I picked two of them out, like, a few years after.
This reminds me of a guy I went to high school with, Michael Aquafrida, whose name translates roughly as cold water, right? He was trying to get an engine started. He was about 15 or 16, and he was using, like, way too much starting fluid, and it backfired, as you know, through the carburetor and caught on fire, and he caught on fire. So he was like this human blaze, and the story I heard was that his father came across him, right, and sort of, like, threw him on the ground, rolled him in the grass, and then took him and put him in the shower and turned the shower on full blast, you know. but didn't take him to the burn ward or to the hospital.
Oh, man.
And this guy, all through high school, had, like, the worst burn scars you could possibly imagine, all up and down his arms and on his back and everything. He was a really nice guy, you know? But, like, he had this strange personality, and I think it was really based on the fact that he was so horribly scarred and burned. And I, you know, I was going to say to him, like, didn't occur to your parents to, like, take you to a hospital? Basically, it came out like they couldn't afford to, you know? So that sort of is reminiscent of your story, I think. Anyway, any other scars you need to tell us about now?
I guess that's it. My hand scars are the best.
So okay.
That's it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye. The number here is 201-678-7743. Hello. Welcome to the air.
Hi. You still on scars?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I got a good one for you. I have a huge scar on my right elbow. It's a little embarrassing to tell you how I got it, though. But, I was walking along 86th Street in the city a couple weeks after Christmas this year, and there was a Christmas tree, a little Christmas tree on the sidewalk. And I was on my way to the post office with some letters, and I guess I was in a little bit of a rush, and I kind of tripped over it, and I smashed my elbow open, so now I have this huge scar along my elbow.
And what did you smash your elbow on?
The sidewalk.
Oh, not on the tree itself?
No, I caught the tip of the tree on my right foot.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'm sorry if...
So you know, now when you think of Christmas, you'll think scar tissue.
I hate Christmas now. I'm Jewish, so of course this would happen.
More reason to hate Gentiles.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's part of the whole thing,
I mean,
thing,
if it was
right?
A menorah left on a sidewalk, you probably wouldn't have tripped over it.
Well, see, a Jew wouldn't leave a menorah on the sidewalk, would he?
You'd have to answer that yourself.
Well, I'm telling you, it could never, ever in all eternity happen.
Okay, thanks for calling.
I'm a little bitter, but yeah, you're welcome.
Well, you know, you have every right to be bitter.
Yeah, well, if there are any witnesses, I hope they'll contact me. I'm thinking about a lawsuit.
That wouldn't be a bad idea, because whoever's living on 86th Street's got to have, some dough.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
If I could help that man. If you saw a man have an accident last Christmas, around the time of, right after Christmas, if you saw a man on 86th Street trip over a Christmas tree, and you want to contact this program, it might mean a buck for you. A few bucks for you. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, stars... I shook hands with Arnold Skolland, the Golden Boy, once.
Arnold who?
Arnold Skolland. He was the Golden Boy wrestling Ricky Page, the Capitol Arena.
Oh, okay, yeah. So we moved straight from scars to stars, I see.
Polish guy. He was from Passaic. He was from Passaic, New Jersey. He was a good guy. Good guy
great wrestler. People have come from Passaic.
Good guy wrestler. Yeah, the Shirelles, weren't they?
Probably.
And somebody else. It was somebody else from Passaic. Henny Youngman played Passaic once. I remember I saw him. He opened up for the Tubes.
Henny Youngman opened for the Tubes.
Opened
that must
up
have,
for the Tubes at the Capitol.
That must have been a really...
I was backstage, and he was talking about how he used to play that place when it was like vaudeville. Because the Capitol was a vaudeville theater.
God bless the man, Henny Youngman. Thanks for calling.
What a joke.
What a joke. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, am I on the air?
Yes.
Okay, I have one of these ubiquitous scars on my chin. That when you don't shave, you know, it really shows up a lot. But it's not so important how I got it, but the time I got it.
What time did you get it?
Well, November 22nd, 1963.
You got it when you heard the news?
No, my parents were in the emergency room when they heard the news. So my scar is as old as 30
so
years.
So your parents were in the waiting room at the hospital while you were getting stitched, and they heard that our beloved John F. Kennedy had been assassinated.
That's it.
What do you know?
Yeah, well, you know, small world.
That's pretty significant. You could look at that scar and think how your scar maybe changed the course of American history.
I think about it a lot.
Okay.
All right, bye.
He's got one of those Harrison Ford scars on the chin. Speaking of scars and stars, Harrison Ford's got a scar. Hello, welcome
to
the air. Yes.
Hi. I got a real cool scar on my head. And I got a plate inside of it, too.
Okay. How did this happen? How did this come about?
I got run over by an old Chevrolet when I was a kid.
And did you see any lawsuit money out of this?
Not too much, because this was like in the early 60s.
How old were you when you got hit by this Chevrolet?
Oh, about 9.
And why did the Chevrolet hit you? Was it...
He was speeding, and I just didn't gauge, getting across the street in time.
Did he stop, or did he hit you and keep going?
Yeah,
okay.
I flew about 30 feet. And so I ended up getting, like, a plate in my head, and this really, like...
Is it a plastic one or a metal one?
Metal.
Metal.
And I got
now,
like,
does that, I mean, are the myths true about plates in the head? Do they bother you when the weather changes, temperature changes, that kind of thing? If there was a sudden temperature drop?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
How does it feel?
You feel like it tightens up a little bit sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
But, I mean, does it get to the point where you wish they would rip it out?
No.
Okay. No. Okay. So, I mean, but, wow, can you attach magnets to it?
I know
that's another myth.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, if you get hit, when I was a kid and I was playing football or something, if you got hit just right...
it would make a ping.
It would be a vibration that ran through your head for about 2 minutes.
Wow.
It was
a tuning fork.
Huh? Yeah.
Like a big tuning fork.
Yeah.
What pitch is your head?
Huh? I don't know.
Do you have any idea?
I don't know. Maybe a C.
You know, if John Cage was still alive, he'd be over there with a microphone in your mouth and hitting you with a mallet. He'd have like a whole mess of people with plates in their heads tuned to different pitches.
But
I would pay hard-earned money to see that.
Well, what was cool about it is that I was going to a Catholic school, right? And then the Beatles became popular, and my scar was my excuse to be able to let my hair grow.
Excellent reason for a scar.
I was screwed the nuns for 6 years.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. This is WFMU Psychology. East Orange is a little bit after 6:30 here. You're listening to Aerial View, the phone-in program. We're going back to the phones. The number, again, is 201-678-7743. Hello. Welcome to the air.
Yeah, hi. I think I saw that guy on 86th Street.
Oh, the guy who fell over the Christmas tree.
Yeah, that's what he claims. But that's not really true.
Are you going to contradict his account?
Yes, because, he was dressed, I can explain the whole story. I was walking around, hanging out, you couldn't help but notice him. He was dressed in drag. He was wearing high heels, boots, stockings, the whole bit, Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. And, there was no Christmas tree there. He's obviously just trying to get money from somebody, I think, because he stepped on a pebble or something, and he fell on his elbow, and it was all bleeding and everything, and he was all crying, I mean, I kind of felt bad, but I didn't want to go over and help him, because, I was afraid I might get AIDS or something.
Okay.
I just want to call because, it's not right for someone like that to try to suck money and sue somebody, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Thanks for calling and providing that public service. That was great. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yes, I have a couple of scar stories.
Okay.
Two, actually. I have two scars on top of my head, one about 2 inches and one about 1¾ inches. I was in seventh grade. I think I was 12 or 13 or something like that. And we were rehearsing something in this auditorium or whatever it was, and I was running around, and there's this really steep stairwell that I was walking down, and as kids often do, I decided to hop the final two, three, or four steps, whatever it may be. I was running down the stairs.
Yeah.
So I hopped these steps, and what happened was the very top of my head struck the concrete overpass.
Okay, the overhang. Okay.
Yeah, overhang, pushing me right down. It was like somebody taking a sledgehammer hitting me in the head.
Wow.
But
so
basically the same thing. Yeah.
You hit your head really good.
Yeah,
okay.
Concrete, and I fell back on my shoulders at the stairwell and stuff.
And
really bizarre.
And this cut open your scalp?
It cut my scalp. They had to stitch it closed, 10 stitches on that one.
And was this the school nurse stitching you closed, or did they take you actually to a hospital or something?
No, they actually, they sort of put a Band-Aid on and sent me home. I had to go to the hospital the next day, and my mother looked at it.
Wow.
And they didn't say it was too bad. But the weird part about it is, exactly 1 month later, I was crossing a major highway with my bike, and I was hit by a car, and I was again hit in the head, different spot, and this is actually a bigger cut.
Now,
not as severe. I mean, the car hit me, and I had to get 10 stitches right in the very top of my head.
Where did the car hit you?
Well, that's something I'm trying to figure out. I was crossing, and the car hit me on the bike broadside, and my head must have went right down, and it was more of a slice than a hard hit, actually. I remember the doctor commenting I must have had a hard head because he noticed the other scar and he noticed the severity of that. He thinks there's actually a dent in my head from the other one. And when he was putting the stitch in, he actually broke the stitch needle. It was a problem. He was pulling it so hard that the needle just cracked in half.
Well, I was hitting the head twice, too. I mean,
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, once when I was about 6 or 7, I had a piece of slate dropped on my head.
Really?
Over at a neighbor's house. We were on the swing set. and he had these big pieces of slate, and he was doing the old bombs away with them.
Yeah.
So he went bombs away and dropped it, and it broke over my head and cut my head open.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and I ran over to my mother, you know, and, like, my hand was all full of blood from holding it on my head, trying to keep my brains in or something. I thought my brains were going to fall out.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought my hand was bleeding, so she kept wiping my hand off and sending me back out to play. And finally, like, the third time I went in, and because I was screaming, my head, and she thought I was saying my hand. And finally, like, the third time I went in there, she looked at my scalp, and there was, like, all blood in my hair and stuff. So I ended up, like, getting a really cool 90-mile-an-hour police car ride down to Good Sam.
Good Samaritan Hospital in West Islip for those non-Long Island types out there.
Well, there's Good Sam hospitals all over the country, I'm sure, but thanks for pointing that out.
One last story, and I'll let you go.
It was that particular Good Sam, yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. My father was a carpenter, and one day, and
hammered you on the head.
He did that many times when I was younger, but let's leave the head stuff out of it. This is a different story. He was doing the school store thing, and what happened was he got this thumb was caught in front of the school store, and he sliced half his thumb off at a 45-degree angle.
Did he get? Was he able to put it back on?
Well, this is a funny story actually, because my father has a number of tattoos, and he went to the doctor. He couldn't put the thumb back on because he didn't have the presence of mind to find it and have it sewed on. But the doctor said, "No, I can graft skin, no problem. We should take it from the forearm." And my father had a very nice tattoo in his forearm. And the doctor said, "In fact, I can give you the snake head from your forearm, right on the thumb, if you want it." And my father, for the reason to decline, he didn't want to ruin the tattoo. So they put it from underneath the arm onto his thumb. He did go back and find the thumb, though, and put it in the freezer. He wanted me to see it later. I don't see my father that much anymore. So he waited till I came home 3 or 4 months later to show me the frozen thumb. And then
So this happened recently?
Well, this happened about, I don't know, March, wintertime. Yeah, probably about 8 months ago or so.
Yeah, I'm sure carpenters, though, it's an occupational hazard. They slice body parts off all the time.
Yeah, it never happened before with him. It was very...
Butchers, carpenters.
Worst one he ever had, the worst problem he ever had.
Why, I wouldn't trust a butcher if he wasn't called Stumpy.
Speaking of carpenters, one last time, my father uncle's a painter. And he was cleaning
gun.
Compressor gun for painting.
Oh, no.
And it was one of those air things, he was cleaning it, and he actually turned it on.
And he blew his eyeball out with the compressed air strip.
Very, very close. He put the air went through his pinky, and it went up, and I had to amputate his pinky.
What do you mean the air went through his pinky?
It was like 8,000 pounds of pressure.
Oh, so he cut himself with air.
Yeah.
What a dick.
Yeah, right through. Can you say that on the radio? Yeah, right through his pinky. Right through. And and I had to slice his pinky off.
I don't believe it.
And this is actually a true story.
What does he feel foolish?
And he said the worst part of all is when he goes to wipe the table now.
Yeah.
Nothing goes off because the pinky's gone.
Oh, cool. All right, thanks for that excellent scar story.
Don't you like those stories?
Yeah, that was excellent.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Scars and stars. Scars of the stars. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay.
I have a scar on my left thumb.
Okay.
Which has caused me to have a secret for many years because the way I got it was so embarrassing. I was carving with an X-Acto knife. I was about 10 or 11, and a fly landed on my hand, and I whacked it, and I gouged open my thumb. I needed three sutures inside to repair the muscle and 6 outside. And I went around telling everyone I just kind of slipped while I was whittling.
Oh, so you actually went to hit the fly with the X-Acto knife?
Yeah, which is pretty stupid.
Uh-huh. And I would have to agree with that, yes.
You know, I just kind of didn't tell people about that for quite a few years. And then when I was older, I just let everyone in on my secret, and they all agreed it was pretty stupid. And I never picked up an X-Acto knife again.
Okay, well, it was pretty stupid. Thanks for sharing that with us.
All right.
Thanks, bye-bye. 201-678-7743 is the phone number here. Welcome to the air.
Yeah, hi. I just want to tell you about my scar. I was building a desk in my house, and a razor-sharp piece of metal cut the inside of my thigh. And I wrapped a towel around it, got ready to go, woke my wife up. I was building it late at night. And on the way to the hospital, I realized that I had to go to the bathroom, so we had to come back with blood all over the car. I had to go use the men's room so I could go to a different hospital.
You were bleeding and you still had to, like...
I was so nervous over getting cut.
Okay, but...
And it stirred up all of my,
Your my juices began to flow.
My inner workings, so to speak.
Okay, and so you
Did you bleed all over yourself when you were going to the bathroom?
Well, I had wrapped a towel around my leg at that point. I needed about 17 stitches.
So wow.
That was one of my about 15 or 20 of them that needed, needed a good amount of stitches.
Very excellent story.
I like that.
What does your scar remind you of now when you look at it? What do you think of when you see your
like
scar?
It's like a crescent, like the moon.
Okay, so but what does it represent to you?
It represents to me a absolutely stupid error I made.
You know, it's very interesting you say that, because most people would look at their stars and their scars and say stupid, stupid, stupid.
Exactly.
To themselves, and just like that three times.
Well, I had.
I look at my scars and I say, boy, that was so stupid the way I did that.
I had another one that was a similar incident when I was kickstarting a motorcycle, and the kickstart shot back at me, and just must have been a little razor sharp piece of metal on the end of the kickstart, a little burr, and it just sliced up my shin, and I had to do the exact same thing, go to the hospital. That time I didn't have to use the men's room to evacuate.
Well, thanks for calling.
Why, thank you.
Bye bye.
Yeah, I think stupid. The two out of the four that I have were stupid scars. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, talking about scars.
Uh huh.
I tell you, I got lots of interesting ones.
Okay.
I have one scar. Once when I was a kid, I was bit by a dog. And then on my mouth, he like ripped my entire lips off.
He ripped your lips off?
Yeah,
a dog?
Just about. And on the other side, where he bit, since you know his other teeth made contact with my face, had a puncture wound like right through the other side of the lip. So I had to go in for like all the surgery crap. To get that,
Was there a lawsuit involved?
No, there wasn't, but there should have been.
It was your own dog, right?
No, it wasn't. It was a neighbor's dog, but it was on a leash.
Okay, what were you doing, poking a pencil in the dog's ear or something?
No, actually, my neighbor knew the dog, and he was petting it. He was like, here, want to pet the dog? I'm like, dogs don't really like me too much. He's like, come on, he's a friendly dog. I go up to pet
it. You submitted to peer pressure. You let your friend talk you into petting a strange unknown dog.
Yeah, and it didn't. So I should sue him.
Yeah, probably. Or no, actually, you should probably just sue yourself because you should have. How old were you?
I was 10, maybe.
Okay, at 10 you really don't know. You're at 10, you think everybody loves you and stuff. So,
yeah, true.
So I can understand you're thinking, gee, this dog can't harm me. So how fast was it? Was it like instant?
So fast.
The dog just grabbed your face?
Yeah, it grabbed, but it was good.
Was it lunging for your throat?
That's like, on dogs, that's like a...
Yeah, that's the instinctual thing,
yeah.
Which I never understood. How do dogs know to go for the jugular?
I have no idea. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Do they have to be shown that? It's weird. They know that. So it was lunging for your jugular, and it missed and hit your face.
Yeah, it just bit my lip. Moved its head like, you know when like a dog's biting.
Yeah,
the
they get their jaws into you and they kind of shake their heads.
But that was it. I mean, it could have totally ripped my skin off my face. That's what the doctor said. But
well,
it was.
What kind of dog was this?
I don't know. It died about a year later. So I had to get all these like rabies test shots and stuff like that.
But did it disfigure you? Did you have to go have constructive surgery? Reconstructive surgery?
Kind of. There's still a scar. If you notice, there's like when I smile. There's like a crease. It makes like a new line in my face. It's kind of neat that way.
Well, I was in this band called the Nihilistics, and the drummer in the band, Troy, was attacked by a dog, and the same thing. The dog bit him in the face, which I guess the dog was going for his throat. He probably lowered his head, and he got terribly scarred. I mean, and there was a lawsuit involved with him, and he collected a pretty fair settlement when he turned 18. But the thing was is that. You could not have Troy within half a mile of a dog. If we went somewhere where there was a dog, the dog had to be locked up behind doors. Well, he was obviously traumatized. He must have been a little kid, but he was obviously really traumatized by this attack by this dog. So he couldn't be around him anymore.
I hear that.
But
And I got plenty of other stories.
Well, thanks. That dog story was the best one so far. So the dog grabbed and held on for a while, and
it shrugged its and like.
It shook its head to add to
The tearing action ripped my bottom lip, not all the way off, but just like left.
Left it hanging on by a little bit, and the story. See the story. I don't know the story. We'll never know the end of the story. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I was never attacked by a dog, so I'm okay.
Well, I was attacked by a dog.
And.
It was actually the family dog.
Your family dog?
Yes. When we were smaller, we used to tease it. and it ended up taking a chunk out of my ear. Now I have a little nick out of my ear, about the size of a dog tooth.
Like I said at the beginning of the program, the closest I came to that was when I was blow-drying my cat.
Right.
It had come in from a really, really bad rainstorm, so I was drying it with a towel, and then, you know, I thought, my 12-year-old mind thought that a blow-dryer would do this much quicker. So I started to blow-dry the cat, and it was swatting at the hair dryer itself, and then caught me across the bridge of the nose, and, like, opened up the bridge of my nose, and now there's a scar there. So, you know, and I look at that scar and I think, stupid, stupid, stupid.
Don't blow dry cats.
Exactly.
Well, I have another
lesson to be learned there.
On the inside of my knee, like my inner knee, when I was young, I was climbing a barbed wire fence and I got stuck on it.
Okay.
And it looks like an antelope springing. It's pretty interesting.
An antelope springing. What do you know? Okay. Sounds very nice. I'd like to see that scar. Thanks.
Well, keep up the scar.
Okay. I got to elaborate on these other scars of mine. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hi. I have a very faint scar to the right of my right nostril on my face.
Uh-huh.
And when I was younger, it used to extend up to the right side of my right eyebrow. And I got it when I was around 13. I had this little horse that I was trying to train so I could ride it. And he was kind of ornery. He didn't really like what I was doing to him, so one day after a rather grueling session in the paddock, I wanted to bring him back to the barn. He didn't want to go. This was like some place I didn't, you know, we boarded him somewhere out in the country. And I was sort of impatient, you know, so I started getting mad at him. He reared up and cuffed me with his front hoof. And if I had been any closer to him, I probably would have lost my right eye, but what ended up was I just got really scared, and I let him go, and he got to do what he wanted to do for the rest of the day. It was rather frightening, and that's my scar.
So were you bleeding profusely from this, or?
I was bleeding pretty badly, but I was, like, really surprised that it wasn't worse, you know? I mean, I ran screaming to this woman's house who the barn belonged to, and I went in, and I told her what happened, and she looked at me, and she was, like, going to call the ambulance and everything, but then I realized it wasn't really as bad as it could have been. And fortunately, you know, he was like really young. He was only about like, he was less than a year old, so he didn't have any shoes on. So it was just his hoofs. I don't know if it would have been, it probably would have been a lot worse if he had these metal shoes on his feet.
Well, it might not have been as sharp though. It
might
have been
not.
Sort of a dull edge, you know.
Maybe not.
So like the sharp edge of his hoof caught you in the face and
caught me in the face.
And sort of tore it open, for lack of a better description.
And I mean,
did you sue the horse?
What'd you say?
Did you sue the horse?
Well, I tried, but he didn't have any money.
Because you could have called, you know, if it was now, you would have called 1-800-LAWYERS.
That's right. Yeah, and he would have been like dead meat by now, but he's probably dead meat anyway.
Yeah, he'd be in the glue factory. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's you know, it seems like most of the scars in this program have been caused by means of locomotion.
Yeah.
Whether horses or bikes
or cars or
something.
Yeah. Well, I have this other scar on my right wrist. It's almost gone now, but it was so weird. When I got it when I was like 10 years old, and I was running down the steps between my neighbor Julie's house and my house, and I tripped and fell like headlong down these little stone steps, and I scraped my wrist. And for years I had this scar that was in the shape of an arrow that was pointing to my right hand, and I thought that was a very significant thing, but it's almost gone now, so you can't even see anymore. But
scars sometimes do just, you know, just go away.
They just go away, I know, and then you tell the story, but there's no evidence, so, you know, chances are, you know, who's going to believe you, you know? I mean, the thing about the horse scar was, there was this, like, wild story, you know, my horse, like, practically took my eye out, but, you know, like, a few weeks later, all I had was this little bump, you know, and it was this horrifying story, but I didn't have anything to show for it, you know, and when you're, like, 12 or 13, a scar is a big, you know, big status symbol, you know, scab, like, this is what happened to me, and you can impress everybody, but it didn't work.
Yeah, we'll have to do another program on scabs, entire program on scabs.
I got some scab stories.
All right.
Okay.
Save them for the next time, Ralph.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I got bitten by a horse.
No.
Yeah, on the shoulder.
Really?
I was standing too close to him, I guess. He didn't like it, so he bit me.
Well, you know, horses will do that.
Well, I didn't know that. Don't stand that close to each other. I never heard of that.
Didn't anybody tell you?
No one ever told me. I never heard of anything before that or after it. You've heard of people being bitten by horses?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Well, anyway, I didn't get a scar from that. But I was on my parents' back porch. I was about 5 years old. My father was watering the lawn, and he started spraying the window, and we didn't like it, and we kids were screaming that he should stop, and he was just laughing. And then eventually the water started coming under the door, and I got really excited and started screaming for him to stop, and I smashed my hand through the window, so I have a little scar on my hand.
So your father provoked you into scarring yourself.
Yep.
He's the sadistic bastard that he is.
It's still here, this scar. 25 years. It's amazing, isn't it?
I think you should slice your dad up.
Okay.
Just to teach him a lesson.
Okay, Chris.
Thanks for calling.
I will.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Yes, hello. The answer to the question is the glands of external secretion demonstrate Congo Bob's epic saliva torture.
Okay, you win the new Buick.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
You bet.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi.
You got to turn that radio down, Chief.
Okay, it's off. I have a really goofy scar story.
Okay.
I don't think you're even going to believe it, but it's true. I have a scar on the bridge of my nose where I was bitten by an epileptic. Okay.
Okay.
Now the situation was I'm at summer camp in the south of France. Okay.
Well, there you go. That's
right?
that's your first mistake.
Sounds really pretentious.
Okay, there's two mistakes there. One's a summer camp. The second is south of France.
I know.
So right away, that's
terrible. I know.
Okay.
Okay. But and we're at the beach, right? The Mediterranean.
Oh no!
Sea.
Well, there's number three. You're at the beach.
That's okay.
I can see where this whole thing's going right now.
Okay.
This is a disaster just waiting to happen.
So there's this kid there, and he's an epileptic, and he has.
Oh no! Now you add the epileptic. Now that's number four. You got summer camp. You got south of France, beach, and now an epileptic, and it's just a recipe. It's a recipe for a scar.
Okay.
Oh, so he. How did he come to bite you on the bridge of your nose?
He had this uncontrollable urge or compulsion to look at the sun, and we were frolicking in the surf, and he was staring into the sun, and he ran into me with his mouth open, and cut me on the bridge of my nose. Now the punchline is, this kid was his father was the Norwegian ambassador to Ethiopia.
Like they really need one.
Yeah.
Okay, so he had diplomatic immunity. You couldn't even sue him.
Well, I don't know, because we were in France, so I don't know if he had immunity there. I don't know. Anyways,
now what
I
do they do when you scar yourself in France? Do they rub it with some garlic or something? What do they do?
Oh, we had American camp counselors.
Oh, okay.
They were kind of nuts.
That'd be a nightmare if it was some guy that's like, just take this clump of garlic and rub it on your scar every night. It'll soon disappear.
They made me wash it off in the seawater.
You big crab baby, stop crying. It's just a little scar.
It was cool because it bled a lot, and I kind of got into having the blood running.
Did you
down
get out of any camp activities for a couple of days at least? Did you?
No.
Oh, too bad.
No.
Well, listen, I think there's a lesson in this for all of us. Stay away from summer camp in the south of France.
There you go.
Thanks.
Okay. Talk.
Wow. I thought I heard it all. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, hi. I have a question and a story. The guy who was scarred on Christmas just last year, has enough time elapsed really to constitute a scar? Is there any kind of time frame that you need to talk about?
No, scars are, you could have a scar as soon as it's sewed up, it's a scar.
But if it's going to go away someday, like the woman who called a little while ago.
Well, then it's a scar that's healed.
Okay, so
but they're both scars, yeah.
Okay. Well, my scar story is I was running from a teacher. We were cutting class or doing whatever in high school with a back pencil in my pocket. And my arm somehow wrapped around behind me and got caught on the pencil and put a nice deep little hole right in the inside of my forearm.
Now, that's a puncture wound. I don't know if that's a scar.
Well, it's still there. I'm looking at it.
Okay, so it is a scar. All right.
So
it's definitely a scar. You have a scar there.
That's a pretty unique one, I thought. But I think there should be at least a year before you can call something a scar. Just a thought.
Okay, we'll take a referendum on that. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a scar.
And?
It's on my face. It's on my left cheek.
From?
I was running down a path, and I tripped, and my face went into one of those little tree stumps that was kind of splintered off. and it went right through.
Wow.
And I sort of ran up the street holding this chunk of my face in, and then I had like 200 stitches inside.
So why did they leave this tree stump sitting there? Why didn't they just, you know, why didn't they remove the tree stump? What was the...
Well, I was about 5 years old, so...
No, I'm not asking that. I'm asking why didn't these people remove the tree stump?
Because they hated kids. I don't know.
You know...
They didn't... It was someone else's property.
You know what they would have done with people like that?
They should take them all, line them up against the wall, slice them open, and spread their guts out on the Palisades Parkway. It's an ugly picture, I know, but...
Okay, thanks for calling.
Yep.
We got a few more minutes left in this program. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, hi. My my best scar story doesn't have a scar to go with it. My best scar doesn't have a story to go with it.
Well, before you begin, let's just do this. On our phones now, ladies and gentlemen, cartoonist Jim Ryan.
Thank you.
I always like to get that theme music in there.
Yes.
Okay, so go right ahead, Jim.
Well, I have this this really big old C-shaped scar, like right under my chin.
C, like the third letter of the alphabet?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know, not like the Caspian Sea.
C
or something.
C or U, you know, whichever letter you prefer. Anyway, it's shaped like that. It sort of describes...
I've always noticed that, but I've never mentioned it to you. I've always noticed that scar, but I don't think I ever asked you how you got it.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't, because there's no interesting story attached to it.
What did you?
I don't even remember.
You don't remember how you got the
I
scar?
I think I might have, like, you
come
know...
On,
take,
come on, make something up. You're
I
in the south of France.
I might have taken a header off my bike when I was, like, 10, you know, scraped it on some gravel.
Hey, listen, I say you just adopt that south of France summer camp epileptic diplomatic kid thing.
Well,
story.
For a while there were, like, these sighting shows where the people were kidnapped by the space aliens and they would have these unexplained scars. So I thought that would be a good explanation for it, because it would explain a lot of my life. But no, I think it's I just you know fell off a bike and they patched it up and I forgot about it. It wasn't like a big event.
Uh huh.
And I have this infinitesimally small scar on my right knuckle, which no one ever asked me about because you can't see it.
Uh huh.
Which has a great story attached to it, where it was years ago. I'd just lost my job the same day, and I'd gone out to get a 6-pack of beer. You know. Coping well like I was, and I had locked myself out of the apartment, so I climbed in through the bathroom window, you know, like the Beatles song.
Uh-huh.
And my landlord had just replaced the sink, but he'd really put this cheapo sink on, and it was hung on the wall on hooks. It wasn't even like fastened or bolted, so it could tip off the wall. And I as I came in like head first through the bathroom window, I grabbed onto the sink, and it did tip off the wall, and it broke. And the water was spraying everywhere, and I got like a big porcelain gash.
Wow, that could be definitely worked into a Neil Simon play.
Yeah, it was a great story, but I got stitches, so the scar is just hardly there. So, you know, I'm just...
Well, there you have it. Now you know, ladies and gentlemen, how Jim Ryan got his scars.
Yeah, oh well.
That could be... Is that like a Dr. Seuss book or something?
How Jim got his scars.
I think it should be. I think if why can't somebody, like, you know, they do with when a, you know, they do that like when a cartoonist croaks, they get some protege to sort of take over the strip, right? So why couldn't you take over like Dr. Seuss's stuff? Just keep doing these books like How Jim Got His Scars.
Yeah. Jim,
no.
Jim calls a Chris.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
Okay, bye.
Bye. That was an excellent story. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, are you still talking about scars?
Yes.
I have some.
Okay.
So,
share them with us, won't you?
Yes, sir. Let's see. This one, like, it's not... first I want to clear something up about scars. That, if you have a scar, that means you're permanently scarred. Like, you can't just, like, get wounded and then get stitched up and be like, hey, guys, look at my scar. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be, like, a scar means scarred for life. Like, you have to wear it on your body all the time.
I'm waiting to hear from a doctor on this one.
No, that's truly what I believe. Because I've gotten, you know, I've gotten cuts and scratches. You know, I've had my cat scratch me. But, like, I can't say that those are scars, you know, because they'll probably be gone in 2 years. But I want to talk about...
I don't know. I think scar probably is a pretty wide definition. But I may be wrong about that. So what were you saying?
Well, I want to talk about, like, the permanent marks that I have on me.
And what are they from?
One was from Mardi Gras. It's me. It's
is this a person you went to school with? Marty,
no, Mardi Gras, like New Orleans.
Oh, Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is such
Mardi Gras there.
Yeah, it's like, it's
Marty,
such a cool
Marty,
memory.
Wait, I'm going to do my Red at the Tube Bar impression. Marty! Mardi Gras!
No, this is really cool, because now every time I look at it, I'm like, Mardi Gras, you know.
Marty!
So, you know how they throw those plastic beads off the floats?
Yes.
Well, I had a couple hurricanes. Like, it's early in the morning, you know, they start drinking
You
early.
Mean drinks, hurricanes being drinks. Okay, so...
Yeah, it's just like some kind of rum drink.
You leapt up and tried to snatch some colored beads out of the hands of a reveler, and you fell back to the pavement and scarred yourself.
No. This kind of weird guy standing in front of me, and we both jumped for the same string of beads.
Why are you jumping for them? They throw them to you. Those strings of beads are worth maybe a penny each.
It's true, but like you have to get into the whole
I jumped for a pair of panties that had, in gold, right on the... It was black pair of panties, and in gold, right on the crotch, there was the head of one of the crews.
Yeah.
Who the heck were they? I can't remember the name of the crew, but it was like, it was their official crew panties.
Yeah, see, I would have jumped a mile for that, you know?
Yeah,
but this was just one of those stupid things of beads, which is why it's like, you know...
Not really worth the leap, but anyway.
Yeah,
so.
But I did the jump, and so did the guy in front of me.
And you fell down and...
I didn't fall!
Okay, so what happened?
Well, we both went for the same necklace, and he got like this big chunk of the skin in my hand under his nail. And,
oh, man!
It was so
disgusting.
Gross. It was so gross. So by the time I came back down, you know, like, I just looked at my hands, you know, and he looked at his nail, and we're both like, ew, you know, he's like, I'm really sorry, you know, and then I threw up. But
you threw up on him? Or just
I didn't
throw up
on him, I just kind of, like, threw up. Like, I felt much better after that.
Should have thrown up on him.
Yeah,
okay.
That would have been the move, you know.
That definitely would have been the move.
Yeah. And then
so.
I have another scar, but I scarred somebody else in this one.
Oh, okay.
I scarred my twin sister.
You have a twin sister?
Yeah.
And you scarred her?
Yeah. I feel really bad about this. Well, she makes me feel bad about it. You know those sprinklers? Like those old sprinklers from the 70s that you had to, like, they're spikes and you had to, like, drive them into the ground?
So you try to drive it into her head.
Exactly. Because we were fighting with it. Like, we didn't realize, you know, so...
Dinner's ready.